I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Of all the latest from the Vatican, beginning with a report on Pope Benedict's words to Cuban bishops in Rome this past week on their ad limina visit. Chris Altieri reports.
Since the 1986 Cuban National Church gathering, and especially since the visit of Pope John Paul II a decade ago, the church in Cuba has begun to experience a renaissance, with a notable increase in vocations to the priesthood and to religious life. Speaking to the bishops on Friday morning, the Holy Father said he is well aware of the vitality of the church in Cuba, and that Cuban ecclesial life has experienced a profound change as a result of the meeting and the visit of Pope John Paul II. The Holy Father said the church in Cuba has been intensely involved in pastoral work that has strengthened the missionary spirit of all the Cuban ecclesial communities. The Pope invited the bishops to continue with an audacious and generous effort towards evangelization, bringing the light of Christ to every place and all areas of life, and expressed the hope that the church in Cuba could have a normal access to the media. Pope Benedict told the bishops, "In this moment of history, the church in Cuba is called to offer to the whole of Cuban society the one true hope, Christ our Lord, who is victor over sin and death." This, said Pope Benedict, is the strength that has kept the faithful of Cuba firmly on the path of faith and love. Pope Benedict also spoke of the need to form the laity in the faith, to promote marriage, and to protect the family. I'm Chris Altieri.
Also on Friday in Vatican-related news was a conference which took place at the Pontifical University Regina Apostolorum in Rome. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The forum, sponsored by the embassies of the United States, the Republic of Costa Rica, and Chile to the Holy See, brought together diplomats and experts to discuss challenges to human rights. We spoke with United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Marianne Glendon, about the importance of a conference like this.
Who knows what effect can come from a conference here, a UN speech there, but if you have enough of this sort of resourcement, reappropriation, new initiative, things can change. That's the faith on which the United Nations was explicitly founded. One word they use over and over again in their charter is faith. Faith in human dignity, faith in human rights.
And on Saturday in the Vatican itself, Pope Benedict also received in audience the participants at the 14th plenary session of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. Lydia O'Kane again.
Gathered in the consistory hall, the participants listened as Pope Benedict began by focusing on the theme they had chosen for this plenary assembly.
In choosing the theme, pursuing the common good, how solidarity and subsidiarity can work together, you have decided to examine the interrelationships between four fundamental principles of Catholic social teaching: the dignity of the human person, the common good, subsidiarity, and solidarity. These key realities, which emerge from the living contact between the gospel and concrete social circumstances, offer a framework for viewing and addressing the imperatives facing mankind at the dawn of the 21st century, such as reducing inequalities in the distribution of goods, expanding opportunities for education, fostering sustainable growth and development, and protecting the environment.
The Pope then posed a question, asking how can solidarity and subsidiarity work together in the pursuit of the common good in a way that not only respects human dignity, but allows it to flourish, adding that this was at the heart of the matter which concerned them.
As your preliminary discussions have already revealed, a satisfactory answer can only surface after careful examination of the meaning of the terms.
The Holy Father then went on to talk about these dominant themes in terms of the human family.
The solidarity that binds the human family and the subsidiary levels reinforcing it from within must, however, always be placed within the horizon of the mysterious life of the Triune God, in whom we perceive an ineffable love shared by equal, so nonetheless distinct persons.
Looking at solidarity and subsidiarity, Pope Benedict put the two themes in the context of the gospel.
When we examine the principles of solidarity and subsidiarity in the light of the gospel, we realize that they are not simply horizontal. They both have an essentially vertical dimension. Jesus commands us to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us, to love our neighbor as ourselves.
A society that honors subsidiarity, the Pope said, was one of liberation.
A society that honors the principle of subsidiarity liberates people from a sense of despondency and hopelessness, granting them the freedom to engage with one another in the spheres of commerce, politics and culture.
In conclusion, the Holy Father said that in revealing the Father's love, Jesus has taught us not only how to live as brothers and sisters here on earth, he has shown us that he himself is the way to perfect communion with one another. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And a big thank you there to Lydia O'Kane, who's got a busy weekend. As on Saturday evening, she'll be doing a live commentary on Pope Benedict's visit to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, where he's scheduled to lead the faithful in the recitation of the Rosary at the beginning of this Marian month of May. I'm Veronica Scareswick. Thanks for listening.